Zaroni Zone Radio, the award-winning view and interview show. Our website is jrdonline.com. Our email is jeff.roney@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a voicemail, call us at 714-929-7857. We're on Twitter. We're also on Facebook. So stay connected to us and on with the show. You came back again. That's great. Thank you. We now present part three of an interview with the hosts of the Redshift podcast, Aether Swift and Kidge, the Redshift podcast. Without any further ado, let's jump in.
Sure.
When did the both of you really become interested in politics?
I started becoming aware of politics when I started to try to view the world more from a biblical perspective, I guess. I read a fiction series by Joel Rosenberg, who I've discussed on our podcast, where he took this the War of Gog and Magog and the beginning of Revelations and that sort of stuff, and using his research, he wrote this fiction story based on what he sees in politics and the world and that sort of stuff, and sort of took all that and said, okay, well, here's what might happen and that sort of thing. And he just, I had read these books, and by the time I started reading them, some of the things were that he had considered to be probable had happened at that point. So just seeing that sort of thing and waiting to see what else would happen. I think the time I really got really interested in politics was when I heard that that Senator Barack Obama at the time was running, and I started to research, okay, well, you know, everyone else in my age group is all about this guy or Hillary Clinton, so what's the big deal about him? And I started researching him and not necessarily liking what I saw, so
okay,
that would be me.
Okay.
Well, personally, I took kind of the more secular path to that, I suppose. It was recommended to me about, I think, this summer or something, to start listening to a nationally syndicated radio host called Mark Levin. And he is a constitutional lawyer who just tells it how it is on basically every issue. And sorry, Kidge is being funny.
Kidge, be nice.
Continue with the serious topic.
Right. Well, I had been interested in eschatology, the study of the end times beforehand, and so I'd been keeping an eye out for Israel and our relations with that. And like Kidge said, as the election started coming up, I did a little research into Obama, and we kind of got into it there. But I really got hard into it this summer when I started listening to conservative talk show and television, and really just got myself informed on everything. You could say that I'm much bigger on politics than Kidge is.
That is absolutely true.
Okay. Where in the Bible did Jesus say we should be involved in politics?
Well, he did say that we should honor authority.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is actually a question that I have asked in our family recently over the past couple of days, of should this be something that we're actually interested in? Should this be something that we're actually fighting for? So to answer your question, I don't know. I haven't found that answer yet.
Okay.
Well, I can't recall any place in the Bible where it says to specifically be involved in politics. But then again, it doesn't really say that about anything else, you know, in any other particular area. But personally, if we know of something that is going on in the world that is evil, or what we consider to be evil or could bring about evil, if we sit there and we choose not to stop it, if we see that, then I think that that would be wrong, you know. And the more that I look into politics, the more I see that this affects people's lives in the future. And, you know, I mean, we're getting okay into really controversial stuff here. But,
sure. Yeah. But,
you know,
but
that's just my point of view. So.
Yeah. We're okay. Let's just keep breathing. Everybody's cool. we're just talking here. I am not right here to attack. I'm just asking questions. That's all.
Oh, no. I,
No.
No. I was heavily involved in debate and stuff like that in high school. College. So I don't know what the word offended even means. So.
I avoid confrontation. So it's a very interesting relationship we have.
Well, stay on the line because one of the things that I think kind of shocked me a bit was that not you, but what was the rest of the conservative people doing? Evangelicals in particular, what were they doing the last 8 years when Bush was in office? What were they doing?
That's a good question.
I think a whole lot of nothing. I think a whole lot of resting. If Bush, okay, a Christian man, right, running the nation, okay, and we had, you know, some say in the government, right, and the churches knew that, we should have had this whole country saved by now, really.
Absolutely.
Honestly. Because the wind was with us. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree totally.
And so God was not asleep when Obama was elected. As a matter of fact, there have been situations in the Bible where the king was evil and the king was definitely diametrically opposed to what God wanted. And God allowed that to wake people up.
Very true.
To get them on the right path.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what's going on here. At least I hope that it is. I mean, you can read about the history of the Israelites, for example. Mm-hmm. They'll go for one generation and be so on fire for God and, you know, just following his will, and everything is about God. And as time progresses, the people become complacent and, you know, they get used to it. They take advantage and suddenly, you know, everything is supposed to be that way and they don't, you know, and that's just kind of the way it happened with us as well. And I think that's why the culture has taken such a nosedive in recent years, you know, and why everything is just, you know, turned so bad. But I think that finally, something really, really shocking and what I consider to be really bad, like, for example, this healthcare bill that passed last night, it was so shocking that hopefully it finally woke up conservative Christians in America. You know, like, what is going on here? What happened when we were asleep? You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, God is in control.
Absolutely.
We definitely need to vote. It does say live civilly with each other.
Of course.
Honor the king. Pray for those in authority over you. But yes, I think we need to be involved. We definitely need to vote. But in a small way, in Proverbs it says, when a man tosses a coin, God is in control of the outcome. So we can vote. We can be involved. But God really is involved in the outcome. And
yeah, absolutely. And his will be done, you know?
You know,
it's not like God is, you know, waiting for us Americans to do what he wants before he can be in power. You know, he, like you're saying, he is in power overall in the universe, and things might happen for his will that we might not see or whatever. It's not like we have to vote God into power in order for him to be in power. So,
and you know, here is saying that a particular party, you know, for example, you know, the Republican Party is a completely Christian great thing to vote for. You know, I mean, we're not endorsing,
right,
you know, anything like that. So,
well, right. The one thing I do want to say, and you know, please don't hang up. I could not in good conscience. I like Meghan McCain much more than John McCain. I'll tell you that much right now. I could not in good faith vote.
We haven't watched too much about Meghan McCain recently. So.
You know, I have. John McCain is the same. Right. I could not vote for him and Sarah Palin. I could not in good faith. The woman had handlers, full groups of handlers. Couldn't answer questions properly. You can't tell me that the handlers didn't prepare her for those interviews. I couldn't have good conscience made that vote. I couldn't have. I'm sorry.
No, that's your opinion, and thank you for sharing it. Personally, I voted for McCain, but I did not vote for McCain. I voted against Obama because I did a lot of research into him, and he scared me.
Well, the thing that scared me is that the Republicans were allowing people to work off country. And those jobs here in America were going to Mexico, going to the Philippines, going over to India. We need our country to work. And these people are getting tax benefits. And, we need to change that, you know. And I understand what you're saying. But here's the thing. Just because a president allows abortion to be legal doesn't mean that that's the choice that should be made. Just because it's there. Alcohol is available. That doesn't mean everybody should go drink it. Now, it's up for us as Christians to do what we can to help people make good choices, even if that choice is legal and available.
That's true, but drinking a beer is not a sin. Murder, which is what we consider abortion to be, is most definitely a sin.
Okay.
And having that, you know, be allowed by the government is not something that I can, in good conscience, stand up for and say, well, that's okay.
Well,
we also believe in a limited government. So, you know, going back to the point you made about outsourcing that sort of stuff, yes, you know, I would prefer all the jobs of all the companies in America to be in America, but
absolutely.
If we have the government limit companies on what they can and cannot do, then we limit the amount of profit that each company can make that can then be put to making new jobs in America. So,
well, my problem with profits is there should be like too much profit. There should be some type of a level where if your profit hits this much, you start giving it to the employees. You know,
well, I would disagree. I don't think that the government should be able to dictate how much someone makes, because once you give them the power, you know, who decides how much is too much? And if you
Wall Street
work, if you work. And if you're a doctor and you go to college for 15 years to be a specialist and you make a very large amount of money, well, that's fine by me. You know, I would not want to be the person who had sacrificed that much and paid that much into education and have my salary be capped by the government just because somebody didn't like that idea.
I never mentioned salary cap. I said profit margin of a company. Mm-hmm. Because normally those profits go into the pockets of like the top 10 people.
I agree, but if we're talking about profits, if you're speaking about the insurance companies, the profit margin of the insurance companies was only 2%, and you see it in most other corporations being as high as like 8%. So if that is what you're referring to, then I think
it's more like Goldman Sachs and that kind of a thing, the Wall Street companies, Shearson Lehman,
corruption in the boardroom and that sort of thing.
You bet.
Yeah. And I can disagree with you on that. I have I just graduated with a degree in business, and I don't support any form of corruption in the corporate realm, and that's where, you know, those people are human, but can we really have other corrupt humans?
Well, let me pose a question for you guys. Is it hurting anyone when other people are making a larger profit, even if it's an ungodly amount of money? Is it hurting anyone?
Yeah, it's hurting the people that are working, down at the bottom rung. They are working overtime to support those at the top.
But who's to say that the money, if it was capped, you know, by the government, would go to those employees? And another point is that these employees at the bottom, they're not forced to stay with the company. They have the freedom to choose, and they have signed a contract with the company, and they are, we're going to assume that they're happy to be working there and happy to receive the amount of money that they are, because if they aren't happy with it, they have that freedom to leave.
Well, okay. Unless there's no other jobs, and then that's kind of a tough one.
Naturally. Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, as is kind of happening today, but we can't really do anything about that.
All right. So,
I just think we live in a fallen world with fallen humans, and we're all making fallen decisions. So
true.
Well, personally, I think that even if it's the smallest amount of leeway that you give the government, any power that you give the government, they will expand on that, and they will use it in any way possible, because the government is just as corrupt as any company. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and look, I am not like pro-government running everything at all. But I just, you know, it almost seems like God has allowed kind of a reset. You know, he kind of said, it's coming. Okay, here we go. Reset. It's like when you hit the power button on your PC. You know, everybody gets scared. Everything goes off. And then now we have a chance to reset. I'm driving a car without anywhere to take it. I want a Saturn, but there is no Saturn. You know?
True.
So I guess I'm the new Saturn repair person, I guess. we live in interesting times.
Definitely.
And I know that you have a lot of concern with the health care. You know,
what gave you that idea?
my thing is this. It's not a perfect system now. And I guess that's one thing I just kind of want to set on the table.
And we agree with you on that. It's definitely not a perfect system as it is now.
We do live in a fallen world. We are sinful people, and therefore we will never have a perfect form of government ever. We can strive for perfection just as we can in our walks with Christ, but we will never truly be perfect, and neither will a government. But we can strive to make it, you know, as efficient as possible.
The one thing I kind of want to leave with, and I really appreciate your time. Honestly, you guys are great. I really appreciate it. Okay.
Well, thank you for having us. I enjoyed it.
It seems like a very big honor for such a small podcast to be interviewed by such a large one. So
what? No. We all get out of here. We all have a part in this. And I think that's the most incredible thing. The final thing I do want to talk about is if the church really read the Bible again and realized that the church has a lot to do, and instead of arguing about carpet or parking spaces or somebody smoking out in the parking lot, if we would stop arguing and really come together and say the homeless people are our responsibility. The sick people are our responsibility. The out-of-work people are our responsibility. If they look at it like that and say we are Jesus on this earth. And yes, preach, yes. But Jesus, I mean, one of the coolest scriptures about Jesus I love is he went around doing good and destroying the works of the enemy. So just doing the good in the way of God, that was so cool when the woman with the many sins came and anointed his feet. I don't know that he talked to her. He may have. But maybe she watched him when he was preaching. And she said, that guy loves people. I wonder if he would love me. I wonder if that's the way God's like, you know, and maybe she came to a point where she said, I have got to surrender to this God. I have to. There's so much love. I've got to do this. And maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
No, I agree with you totally. And I think that, you know, charities and the work of the church can do far better for the poor and the widows and the orphans than a government taxation system ever could, you know? And we're just kind of switching over that way to where people are forced to. But honestly, you know, if we had that money to ourselves, we'd have more freedom, and I would be able to give a lot more, you know, to the poor and those who need it.
And I just, I don't know, you know, how you're going to take this, but I believe that we can pray for people and that, you know, if God sees fit, he can heal them. And I don't, yeah. I don't mean this in a funny, flippant way, but maybe the church can be in a small way part of the health plan.
Absolutely.
And really care for people. Really care and actually take a real concern about, you know, maybe teach a little class about eating right. Maybe teach a little class about exercise and not change it to, you know, this, you know, kind of a bureaucratic thing that, oh, you have to do this to be at our church, but just to really care about all of you, all of the people, yeah. All of the body. Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, I agree totally, and it's ironic that you'd bring that up because I completely agree with you, and I think that the reason that we get so sick in this country and so many of us, you know, are dying is because we don't eat right, we don't exercise, we're not getting the nutrients we need, and if you really, like, do some research into the food that we eat, it is what's making us sick. So, I mean, yeah, if you had, like, a nutrition class or people who cared going around and saying, look, you know, you can't just, I mean, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you educated yourself on, you know, what you're putting in your body and how you're treating your body, you know, you will live a longer and healthier life if you, you know, take care of your body, literally. And I agree that there's really not much of that at all that you see nowadays in this nation. And people don't really take it seriously or acknowledge that if you just give your body what it needs. You know, let's say the Daniel diet, you know, just eating vegetables, you're going to be healthier.
The one final thing that I'll kind of lay out and see what you think, and then we'll end it there, is sometimes you can learn from people who don't view things like you. Sometimes.
Right. Okay. Yeah, very absolutely.
I was watching a special, you know, the Mormons and the Christians kind of see things a little differently. And I was watching a special, there was a gentleman who was in Louisiana, and he was telling a story about how before Katrina, he would slam the door and never come to the door when the Mormons came. Mm-hmm. But after Katrina, when no one was helping him, the Mormons came with food, money, and food and assistance to help him out. That got his attention. And I think that if we come not with the four spiritual laws or what Ray Comfort is teaching or this kind of a well thought out, you know, list of things to say, but if we come like Jesus did, feeding the 5,000, healing people, loving people, if we did first and establish this trust and establish something, I'll bet you people would listen more.
Absolutely.
Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah. Great. Perfect. A great time to end. I just want to thank you guys so much, Kidge and Aether Swift, for taking your time.
Of course. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to, you know, talk to you and explain a little bit deeper about what we view that we might not, you know, that we might take for granted when discussing with our audience on our show. Mm.
I appreciate it so much. Now, tell folks where to find you, your show, and all that kind of stuff.
We have a website at redshiftpodcast.com. You can RSS there for our podcast. We are also on iTunes. So anywhere, just search for Redshift and you'll find us.
That's it,
Kidge. I guess that sums it up.
Okay. It's a great website. Check these guys out. They always have something very interesting to say, and it's cool to see. It's cool to listen to a married couple have fun, talk a little bit, you know, and talk about some deep issues. So check them out. Again, thanks so much, guys, for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that's it. There ain't no more. And I just really want to thank Aether Swift and Kidge for being so cool, so great. To come on this show and to be honest, listen, talk, and be able to discuss topics without shutting down, screaming, hanging up, having a problem. It's just really neat to know that there are people who you can disagree with that you can still talk to and about certain things that just you don't agree on. Again, I just really want to thank them for just being cool and standing up for what they believe in and making their views known, but also listening. I don't think anyone can change their views in a hour or so period of time. But, you know, it's nice to know that you can talk to people, even in 2009, in this cable news 24-hour different slant here and there and all over the place, stations and all these talk show hosts. It's nice when two or three people can sit down and talk. It's really, really cool. Thanks again to them, and be sure to come back next week for another great show. We'll see you. Everything costs money, and we want to offer this to you. It's a support page, support.ronizone.com. There's two ways that we would ask that you would help support us. One is just a PayPal link, and you can donate any amount you'd like through PayPal. The other way is to buy products from our other links to affiliates that we offer on that page as well. We really appreciate it. Everything costs money, and we want to continue to keep these shows free, so we offer this to you. Please visit our support.ronizone.com page to help support us. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. Here's just a quick reminder that if you want to continue to get these Roni Zone radio shows directly sent to either your Google Reader or your iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts, please visit subscribe.ronizone.com, and it's going to give you links and instructions of how to get subscribed and get connected to us so we can send you shows automatically. Thanks so much. There is no way we can do what we do on our own. So we often play promos and things like that, and we want you to check out these promos, but also take a second and check out these shows if they really seem interesting to you. We really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
For over 300 years, one story has captured the imagination of millions. One mythical journey has never been more real. A solitary life perseveres on the quest for truth. And though he travels alone, we stand at his side, for his story is our story.
This book contains the secrets of the universe. I'm cursed by a dark power that drains the life from me. That's why I must get to the Mystic City, where the Absolute can purge my curse and recreate me. It's the only way I'll survive.
Do you think of yourself as religious?
I don't know. I'm a man after the truth, wherever it leads me.
Religion is complicated and convoluted. You don't know what you're getting yourself into.
You'll run into many paths near this one while traveling. They'll be crooked and wide.
You have to learn to discern the truth.
Sharpen your mind and do not be deceived.
A storm made of fire is coming, and this city will be destroyed.
There's a dark power at work here. This place is called the Swamp of Dread Gloom.
Come back to us, Christopher.
If you keep going this way, you'll have swords at your throat, dragons at your back, and in the end, death.
The choice is yours, Christopher. It has always been yours.
Spirit Blade Productions presents a reimagining of the classic tale by John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. The quest begins at spiritblade.net.
Hi, this is John Wilkerson, host of the Jesus Geek Podcast. And you can find that over at JesusGeek.info. And I'm sure you're enjoying this wonderful podcast that you're listening to right now. Well, if you're enjoying this podcast, I bet you'll enjoy mine, Jesus Geek. It's technology, news, and how-tos for the connected Christian. Now, I'm not one of those insiders. I don't have all the hookups. I'm not like these celebrity podcasters out there who are talking about technology. I just take a look at technology and see how you can apply it to your church, to your ministry, or your homeschool. Come check it out, JesusGeek.info. Thanks for sticking me in your ears.
Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com. Roni's Own Radio is a proud member of the Christian New Media Group. You can find more information at cnmg.roniezone.com. And drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.